The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, now it's time for our expert slot. And joining me now, ophthalmologist and medical director at the Wellington Eye Clinic at the Beacon, Arthur Cummings. Arthur, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you very much.
Now, a couple of general questions which have been repeated by a number of our listeners. A lot of people who wear glasses and then they wear a face mask and the lenses get fogged up. Two solutions, I suppose. One is not to wear your glasses. The other is maybe to get corrective laser surgery. What should you do if you're wearing glasses and you feel you need to and they get fogged up?
Pat, there are a couple of options. You get some defogging creams and sprays you can buy that sort of prevent the glasses from fogging up. They don't work particularly well, but they can certainly alleviate things. The second thing is to try and make sure that the mask you're wearing is really sealed on the upper border against the nose. You can tape it down. That'll help. For people who are thinking about vision correction, you could wear contact lenses. One of the issues with contact lenses, however, is also that we're now breathing into our masks and the warm exhaled breath is now drifting over the surface of the eye, so infections go up. So it's the masks, they're probably going to be with us for a while, and it probably explains why so many people currently are considering vision correction, because the masks and glasses just don't go well together.
So there has been an increase in the requests for laser surgery?
Yes, across the world, not only in Ireland, across the globe.
Some of the questions coming in, we've so many we could be doing an entire program with you, Arthur. Can you please ask Arthur how to prevent the patient's head from jerking when a patient is having eyelid cysts removed and is the vision impaired during the procedure? And a related question, I have a meibomian cyst on my eyelid for the last 3 weeks. It's not that painful now, but it's unsightly. How long will it take for it to go away? I usually apply a warm compress to the affected eye every morning.
All right, so it's a really good idea to apply a warm compressor if you have an eyelid swelling, because most of the time it's one of the meibomian glands or the oil glands that's blocked. And if you intervene soon enough, you can express some of the oil that's blocking the gland, the thickened oil. If it does become infected, it gets red and sore, and that's when antibiotics work well. If they don't do the trick, then one has to think about draining it. A small little incision from the back side of the eyelid so you don't see any scarring, and that can drain it. And sometimes it'll resolve on its own where the infective component sort of goes away, but you're left with the material that's left there. And then this material that's in the cyst can also undergo a degradation and you're left with just this sort of cheesy material stuck inside the cyst. And the best way to sort that out is to incise it. So if the meibomian gland swelling is not decreasing and is not going away with warm compressors, I'd give it a month or so, I'd go and see an ophthalmologist to have it drained. And then the second question was regarding while it's being drained, how do you keep the head still? So most of the time people are really nervous about it. We'd always start off by saying, how do you get on with the dentist? And most say, yeah, once I've had the injection, I'm fine. And we'd say, this is very much the same. Normally when we're working, our hands are on the patient's forehead and that sort of reassures them, plus it helps keep it steady. And once you've had the anesthetic, you're just not going to feel anything. You don't see much because our hands are in the way, your eyelid might be closed, the things in front of you. So you don't really see anything happening. So it sounds a whole lot worse than what it is.
What can I do, if anything, about an increasing number of floaters? That's from Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie, especially if you're short-sighted, you must have it checked out. It's completely normal. Everyone, at some point, the jelly inside the eye or the vitreous inside the eye collapses. That's 100% normal. Normally happens in your 40s if you're short-sighted and a bit later if you're long-sighted. And so floaters per se are nothing to worry about. But if you suddenly see an increase in them, it tells you that the jelly in the back of the eye has made quite a significant move. And in the process, it may have disturbed the retina and called a little retinal tear. Whenever there's traction on the retina, you tend to see flashing lights. So if you, in conjunction with new floaters, are seeing flashing lights, and they mostly noticeable at night when you're going to bed, you sort of turn the lights out and you see a flashing light, that needs an ophthalmologist's dilated retinal exam. You want to make sure that the retina is okay.
I have high-pressure myopia and floaters. I've been told I'm at risk of glaucoma. I'm on drops. Could you explain this, please? And is there anything I can do to help my condition? I'm 49.
All right. So the very first thing to do is to make sure you're under the care of an eye care professional. Someone needs to be following you, making sure your pressure's okay, making sure that a target is being established, that you know at this particular target, call it 15 for argument's sake, when I'm at this level of pressure, I don't get any further damage to the optic nerve or to my visual field. And then all your subsequent visits need to do is really make sure that the pressure remains under 15. So glaucoma is a condition where the pressure inside the eye is too high for your eye and as a result damages the nerve. And the way that that manifests is not with what you're seeing directly in front of you. So you can still see 20/20 looking straight ahead, but the peripheral vision to your side, that starts decreasing. And it happens so slowly that people don't notice it. And that's why it's important once you're 40 just to have a check on the general health of your eye. And high myopia puts you at a higher risk of damage from glaucoma. So the right thing to do is to make sure you're under the expert care of an ophthalmologist who will be very aware of this and to keep your pressure low, mostly with drops. It's mostly with drops, but nowadays there's some other solutions too. Some people are using laser treatment as a primary procedure to correct glaucoma, and some are, at the time of cataract surgery, using stents. So if there's one field of ophthalmology that's really blossomed in the last 10 years, it would be the space of glaucoma. There are many options now, but go and have it checked out.
This one, I've burst two blood vessels within the last 6 months. I woke up with these, so it happened in my sleep. Should I see a doctor? Blood vessels in the eye.
Yes, Pat, but interestingly, probably not the eye doctor. More important to see your general practitioner and just make sure there's no underlying cause. The most common things are high blood pressure or high cholesterol. The truth is that the great majority of burst blood vessels in the eye have no particular cause. They look an awful lot more serious than they are, and they simply just clear up. But if they persist, it makes sense to go and find an underlying cause.
Please ask your guest why the whites of my eyes are always slightly red and the coloured parts are always murky looking. They're like this for many years. My eyesight is good. I'm 60. Had laser surgery for short-sightedness 30 years ago. That's from Michael in Glasnevin.
So, Michael, anytime your eyes are red, there's a cause. And what people sometimes do is they use an over-the-counter drop that makes the eyes white. And all that does is it addresses the symptom and it makes the eye look white again, but it's not addressing the cause. So you want to find out what the cause is. The most common cause this time of the year would be allergies, with all the flowers blossoming now and the trees, you know, sprouting leaves. And the other one would be dry eye. Those would be the two most common things. But then, of course, you get redness, too, with things like infections, like conjunctivitis or uveitis. So you want to know what the cause is. Then you address the cause. And if, despite addressing the cause, you still have some element of redness, there are some drops you can use today that are safer than in the past. One of the problems with using an over-the-counter drop that makes your eye white is you get something called rebound redness. So what the drops do is they constrict the blood vessels and they make them very, very narrow, and so you can't see them. Your eye looks white. But they get so exhausted from being so constricted that when those muscles relax, they become completely flaccid, and then the eye goes really red. And then you get into this vicious cycle of drops, very red. Drops, very red, and eventually they give up and they just can't constrict anymore, and then your eyes are chronically red. So if your eyes are red, rather have it examined or investigated to find out what the cause is.
My son is 21 in September. He's short-sighted, minus 1.5 at the last test, but it's getting worse. He'd love to get laser to correct his vision, but is he too young? And if he did get it now, how long would it last? Should he wait until he's older and has stopped growing? He needs to wear his glasses more and more when out and about, as everything is a blur. If he doesn't, it's also negatively affecting his sporting activities. That's from Martha in County Clare.
Martha, thank you so much for that question. It's one that doesn't get addressed often, and it's so important because there's a myth out there that you've got to wait for stability and you've got to wait for a certain age. So right now, for the last 15 years probably, is all centers that specialize in vision correction have known that the one thing you can do to stabilize the vision and stop it getting worse is, in fact, have permanent correction. And at 18, the only permanent correction you're thinking about is laser or something called a phakic lens implant, not a lens replacement, but an additional lens. So that stabilizes the vision, and it typically lasts a lifetime. People speak about my laser wore off, when they hit the mid-40s and they find they can't read anymore. But if they think about it carefully, they realize they can still see in the distance. So in fact, it hasn't worn off. There's a new problem, and the new problem is called presbyopia, and that happens to you irrespective of whether you've had treatment or not. And that's simply where the lens becomes more less elastic and just can't accommodate anymore and focus up close. So once he's deemed to be a healthy patient with healthy eyes, there's a good time to start thinking about this. It's at 18. Now, there's a pandemic across the world, not COVID. Before COVID came along, this was the pandemic on the World Health Organization's website, was the pandemic of increasing short-sightedness. It's just rampant across the world because of the time we're spending on screens and the lack of time we're spending outside. And what we do know now is there's some contact lens designs that can prevent this from happening. And these contact lens designs, interestingly, do exactly what laser surgery does to the cornea. It's quite complicated, so I don't want to take time on this, but treating the cornea for laser vision correction has a very strong potential to slow down the progression completely. So we would see less than 1% of patients who come back in time who need an adjustment to touch up their distance vision. But of course, everyone, unless you've planned for it, will come back in their mid-40s to because they can't read anymore up close.
All right. Well, Arthur, it's a familiar story because when you look around at people who are in middle age and they're reading on a bus or on a train in the hairdressers, they inevitably are wearing glasses. Arthur Cummings, ophthalmologist and medical director at the Wellington Eye Clinic in the Beacon Hospital, thank you very much. We could go on for another hour with all the questions we have coming in. Sorry if we did not get to yours.